Yes, Walk Sign is on. This is WMFO in Medford. I'm Chuck. Technically filling in for the Ultimate Rock Show with FR, but I got to tell you, it's not going to be an Ultimate Rock Show today. We're doing a 9/11 retrospective, picking up on Ed's theme. Great mixing Ed just did. And thank you, Ed, for that. And I'll continue on the theme, though. I got some wild mixing by Negative Land coming up in the next hour or so. And
we love Negative Land!
But let's see, and there'll be some music and other retrospectives from the time. I've got something here that Jimmy Tingle, local comedian and political satirist, posted on his Facebook page just yesterday, a poem that he wrote back in the a few days after the attacks of 9/11, and I took the liberty of mixing it with some bed music, because that's what I do. So we'll kick off this new show of a 9/11 retrospective with Jimmy Tingle here on WMFO in Medford. I'm going to make sure I get my WMs correct, because sometimes I can get confused. But stay tuned. We're here at 91.5 FM and streaming at WMFO.org.
I wrote this poem in the days and weeks following September 11th, 2001. The name of the poem is 911 Prayer for America. There's a hole in the tip of Manhattan, a hole in the soul of America, a hole in the center of our psyche, a hole in the foundation of our confidence. There's a hole in the faith of our country that fills churches in search of a God. There's a crack in the national mirror, empty chairs around the family table, dark houses of our missing neighbors, vacant desks of our absent workers. On our streets, there's a wail from the widows with candles, sobs from the orphaned with pictures. The face breaks on the lawyer, the dead woman's husband, flags and flowers for our public servants. There's a hole in the soul of America, afraid with the televised pictures, numb with the morning papers, grieving for the land they loved, grieving for the land they lost, grieving for the innocent victims, grieving for the broken families, grieving for the friends still weeping, grieving for the ones who fight fire, grieving for the ones who fight crime, grieving for the city that never sleeps, grieving for the city on a hill. There's a hole in the soul of humanity, and I pray for all of our leaders, good people and well-intentioned, condemned to retaliation, doomed to retribution, sentenced to seek revenge. And I pray for those who go marching toward an enemy they can't even see, brave in the shadow of their fathers, brave in the duty of history, brave in the madness, brave in the sadness, brave in the blindness. And I pray to the prophets of history, privy to the word of God, Moses on the mountain with those Ten Commandments, Jesus on the cross for the love of his neighbors, Jesus on the cross for the love of his enemies, Muhammad in the Quran with words that escape, fanatic followers abusing religion with hate. But the Quran is clear. If you destroy one life, it's as if you destroyed the whole world. And if you save one life, it's as if you save the whole world. And God cries from the tablets on top of Mount Sinai, save the world. And God cries his last breath on the cross on Good Friday, save the world. And God cries from the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, save the world. And God cries, and God cries, and God cries. There's a hole in the soul of his children. Love can fill the hole, and God is love. And we ask, where is God? Strangers with shovels on the tip of Manhattan fill the hole. Firefighters from around the United States drive to New York City to help find their brothers and sisters. Fill the hole. Hollywood stars raise millions for victims, benefits and fundraisers and letters and cards. Boston Red Sox fans in Fenway Park sing, we love New York. Fill the hole. And the mayor fills the hole. And the governor fills the hole. And the president fills the hole. And the media fills the hole. The interfaith prayer services on the steps of City Hall fill the hole. Neighbors in the park with candles try to comfort the missing girl's roommates. She was on the 106th floor that Tuesday morning. Candlelight vigils for peace fill the hole. Young people in uniform for war fill the hole. Flags at half mast and flags in our windows. The Star-Spangled Banner and the prayer of St. Francis. The Star of David, the teachings of Islam, and the letters of Paul fill the hole. And the hole in our soul is our cross to bear. And that cross to bear fills the hole.
Jimmy Tingle there with his poem, 9/11 Prayer for America. Over some dub music by Dirk Schumer, a dubby thing he did. I'm Chuck, it's WMFO in Medford, doing a 9/11 retrospective in place of the Ultimate Rock Show. That'll be back next week. But FR was away on vacation, and the time was too perfect. As Ed says, he came in to do his 9/11 sound collage from 9 to 11 a.m. this morning. And as he pointed out, the universe converged to make that happen for him. And so it's continuing to converge, and we're going to be looking at the events of 25 years ago in peripheral vision. And we're going to go back 25 years right now and hear from Annie DeFranco, a New York artist, and a thing that she did called Self-Evident. And this is from 25 years ago, just to put that into perspective. Here at WMFO in Medford.
Us people are just poems. We're 90% metaphor, with a leanness of meaning approaching hyperdistillation. And once upon a time, we were moonshine, rushing down the throat of a giraffe. Yes. Rushing down the long hall, despite what the PA announcement says. Yes. Rushing down the long hall, down the long stairs in a building so tall that it will always be there. It's part of a pair. There on the bow of Noah's Ark. The most prestigious couple just kicking back, parked against a perfectly blue sky. on a morning beatific in its Indian summer breeze, on the day that America fell to its knees, after strutting around for a century without saying thank you or please. And the shock was subsonic and the smoke was deafening between the setup and the punchline, because we were all on time for work that day. We all boarded that plane for to fly. And then while the fires were raging, we all climbed up on the windowsill, and then we all held hands and jumped into the sky. And every burrow looked up when it heard the first blast, and then every dumb action movie was summarily surpassed, and the exodus uptown by foot and motor car looked more like war than anything I've seen so far. So far. So far. So far. So fierce and ingenious, a poetic specter so far gone that every jackass newscaster was struck dumb and stumbling over, oh my God, and this is unbelievable, and on and on. And I'll tell you what, while we're at it, you can keep the Pentagon, you can keep the propaganda, you can keep each and every TV that's been trying to convince me to participate in some prep school punk's plan to perpetuate retribution. Perpetuate retribution. Even as the blue toxic smoke of our lesson in retribution is still hanging in the air, and there's ash on our shoes, and there's ash in our hair, and there's a fine silt on every mantle from Hell's Kitchen to Brooklyn, and the streets are full of stories, sudden twists and near misses, and soon every open bar is crammed to the rafters with tales of narrowly averted disasters, and the whiskey is flowing like never before, as all over the country folks just shake their heads and pour. So here's a toast to all the folks that live in Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, El Salvador. Here's a toast to all the folks living on the Pine Ridge Reservation under the stone cold gaze of Mount Rushmore. Here's a toast to all those nurses and doctors who daily provide women with a choice, who stand down with threat the size of Oklahoma City just to listen to a young woman's voice. Here's a toast to all those folks on death row right now, awaiting the executioner's guillotine, who are shackled there with dread and can only escape into their heads to find peace in a form of a dream. Peace in a form of a dream. Peace in the form of a dream. Cause take away our PlayStations and we are a third world nation under the thumb of some blue blood royal son who stole the Oval Office and that phony election. I mean, it don't take a weatherman to look around and see the weather. Jeb said he'd deliver Florida, folks, and boy, did he ever. And we hold these truths to be self-evident. Number one, George W. Bush is not president. Number two, America is not a true democracy. And number three, the media is not fooling me, cause I am a poem heeding hyperdistillation, and I've got no room for a lie so verbose. Yeah. Yes, I'm looking out over my whole human family, and I'm raising my glass in a toast. Here's to our last drink of fossil fuels. May we vow to get off of this sauce. shoo away the swarms of commuter planes. Find that train ticket we lost. 'Cause once upon a time, the line followed the river and peeked into all the backyards. And the laundry was waving and the graffiti was teasing us from brick walls and bridges. We were rolling over ridges, through valleys, under stars. I dream of touring like Duke Ellington in my own railroad car. I dream of waiting on the tall, blonde wooden benches in a grand station aglow with grace, and then standing out on the platform and feeling the air, the air, the air on my face. Give back the night, its distant whistle. Give the darkness back its soul. Give the big oil companies the finger, finally, and relearn how to rock and roll. Yes, the lessons are all around us, and the truth is waiting there. It's time to pick through the rubble, clean the streets, and clear the air. Get our government to pull its big dick out of the sand of someone else's desert. Put it back in his pants. Quit the hypocritical chants of freedom forever. 'Cause when one lone phone rang in 2000, and one at 10 after 9 on 911, which was the number we all call when that lone phone rang right off the wall, right off our desk and down the long hall, down the long stairs in a building so tall that the whole world turned just to watch it fall. While we're at it, remember the first time around? The bomb, the rider truck, the parking garage, the princess that didn't even feel the pee. Remember joking around in our apartment on Avenue D? Can you imagine how many paper coffee cups would have to change their design following a fantastical reversal of the New York skyline? It was a joke at the time. And that was just a few years ago, so let the record show that the FBI was all over that case, that the plot was obvious and in everybody's face. And scoping that scene religiously, the CIA, or is it KGB, committing countless crimes against humanity with this kind of eventuality as its excuse for abuse after expensive abuse, and they didn't have a clue. Look, another window to see through. Way up here on 104th floor. Look, another key, another door. 10% literal, 90% metaphor. 3,000 some poems disguised as people on an almost too perfect day. Must be more than pawns in some asshole's passion play. So now it's your job, and it's my job to make it that way, to make sure they didn't die in vain. Shh. Baby, listen. Hear the train.
To our regular commentator for some clarity. Turn in this particularly horrifying week to our regular commentator.
Moon rises and sets in the river, islands and hurricanes. Wind blows in from Jersey, it floats across the bay into the open ocean. It's a good day to run away. Freedom is a scary thing. Not many people really want it. Me,
Lesson is mighty important, remember?
Bullwinkle is a...
Not that lesson. This lesson.
Al-Qaeda is trying to do two things. They're trying to issue a wake-up call to Muslims saying, look, your entire religion and the Ummah, the Islamic community, is under threat, and therefore it's your duty as a Muslim to rise up and resist this. And they're also trying to strike a blow of revenge.
On my orders.
Revenge.
On my orders. The United States military has begun strikes.
Oh God, deliver us, America, from evil.
This great Muslim, love thy neighbor nonsense. You know, if you read the Quran, really read the Quran, and if you learn about what's going on in Saudi Arabia, about this one and his, it is, they have to wipe out everybody unless you become one of them. So if that happens, if there's another nuclear bomb, we're going to bomb Mecca, we're going to bomb the most religious places. This is a holy war.
We'll be right back. can't see where he's shooting at all.
We can finish anything we start.
Reaching around the corner.
Anything.
Not looking.
We can finish anything we start.
Can't see where he's shooting at all. Reaching around the corner.
Do not think those that die for God are really dead, but rather they live in the shadow of God, in the paradise of Eden. The strangers, Canada, USA, France, Britain, have ceased to focus on the unknown, the mysterious, because they do not believe in God. Europe stopped believing in God, so why should I speak in our language? I will speak in their terms. I have land and the paradise of Eden. My land is occupied, and I'm trying to liberate it.
Islam literally means surrender. To lie down in peace before the will of Allah, the one God. But the intent of Islam is to create justice in this world, to unify the temporal and the spiritual.
They had this vision that they propagated through Islam in its purest form. So anything they encountered that differed from that vision was regarded as objectionable.
What has puzzled you most about God? What has puzzled you most about God?
Well, I've always been puzzled about him because, well, I mean, airplanes have been flying pretty high and they haven't come across him.
And the Lord saw the tower which the children of men builded, and he was displeased, saying to himself,
"This thing is not good."
I think God told them to make the building, gave them the idea to make the building so that the people could live in it.
One of the most impossible and memorable images of that day were people leaping out of the windows, being forced out by the fire behind them, driving them, herding them out the windows. And to see that image of two people, co-workers, strangers, I had no idea, but that not knowing made it all the more poignant for reaching out for somebody's hand.
To me, the idea of standing on a ledge of the 80th floor of a high rise and look at a woman or a friend and hold hands and say, "We are going to like fly down and die together now holding hands," it's something that is so beyond my courage.
To take your last step, that you would end your life in the hands of a stranger.
You know how many times I have actually visualized myself in that situation since that happened.
Plummeting thousands of feet to your death.
And I can't even imagine how to do that.
I think that the power of that image
is it doesn't give an answer.
I mean, I'm sure that there is so many religious people asking themselves questions. Did they hear a voice? Did they hear a calling? Did they see a beautiful garden with rivers and lakes down there? Was their pain so much that some device that we don't know about that we have inside ourselves, some spiritual device, just triggered on and all of a sudden it was heaven?
It takes us in two opposing directions. On the one hand, we are all alone at the end. Life is fleeting. There's no one to help us when we face the abyss.
Already before they jumped, and they were just jumping into something beautiful.
And there wasn't.
Because I tell you,
no one came for them.
I could not do it.
And on the other hand, they reached for each other.
Something special must have been going on. Because a lot of them jumped.
They said that in that moment when they're facing the absolute ultimate, there are other human beings.
There is no God!
To reach out, to be there, to help them.
There is no God!
To help us.
This thing is not good.
There are other human beings. There are other human beings. There are other human beings. To reach out, to be there, to help them, to help us.
There is no God!
Well, you feel closer to God when you're indoors or out of doors. Well, you feel closer to God when you're indoors or out of doors.
God is perfect. God is perfect.
I remember asking my Saudi friends, what do these people want?
God is perfect. God is perfect.
When we're unhappy with ourselves, when we feel torn with our, among ourselves, when we don't know whether we're religious or secular, or as many people in the Islamic countries who do feel split.
Slow down, slow down, slow down.
That they belong in neither East nor West.
Enough. This is changing too fast for me.
This kind of conflict is very often projected onto the other.
I can't keep up.
Christians did this way back at the time of the Crusades, when we were fighting a brutal holy war in the Middle East against Muslims, something which in no way could be justified by the peaceful gospel of Jesus Christ. We were, in a sense, at war with our Christian selves, but we then said, it's Islam that is the violent, intolerant faith, and we must fight it to the death, and that it's the enemy. So it was a projection going on there. And similarly, much of the classical Western phobia about Jews was similarly based on worry, buried anxiety about Christian behavior, Christian beliefs. And I think you're quite right, there's something of that sort going on here, that people, especially in developing countries, were torn, as I say, between East and West, tend to project all that hatred onto an enemy that they can define and feel and categorize as absolutely evil and therefore out of the cast of any form of human consideration.
Yeah. Muhammad? Okay. We're all right, guys.
the blood red sky moving in from the east towards the west with balaclava helmets over the hills. Yes. But if you think that Jesus Christ is coming, honey, you've got another thing coming. If he ever finds out who's hijacked his name, they'll cut out his heart and turn in his grave. Possessions. Are you simple folk? You fight them on the beaches, in your underclothes. You thank the good Lord for raising the Union Jack. You watch your ships sail out of harbor, and the bodies come floating back. Watch your ships sail out of harbor, and the bodies come floating back. But if you think that Jesus Christ is coming, honey, you've got another thing coming. If he ever finds out who's hijacked his name, he'll cut out his heart and turn in his grave.
Islam is rising, the Christians mobilizing. The world is on its elbows and knees. It's forgotten the message and worships the creeds.
If the real Jesus Christ were to stand up today, he'd be gunned down cold by the CIA. Now burn brightest behind stained glass will cast the darkest shadows upon the human heart. But God didn't build himself that throne. God doesn't live in Israel or Rome. God doesn't belong to the Yankee dollar. God doesn't plant the bombs for him.
about getting back to work, about getting back to normal. Our city has news, I mean, has cameras and has police everywhere. It's almost like we're a military zone.
It's like everything else. When times are bad, you know, now something like this, all of a sudden security will be tightened. And then, you know, when nothing happens for a year, then it's lax again. When they have to worry, they worry. And then, you know, things are like, okay, it's okay. But it's never going to be okay.
I want this world to change back into normal place.
What would that be like if it changed
back? Peaceful, and we could play together and have fun and laugh together.
Those evildoers, those barbaric people who attacked our country, and we're going to hold them accountable, and we're going to hold the people who house them accountable.
I don't think our lifestyles will be the same for a long time since it was before these attacks, as far as use of transportation, particularly airports, are concerned. You know, there have been warnings about whether our security was good enough and whether the proper measures were being taken. I'm sure that will all be reviewed.
The focus right now is on Osama bin Laden, no question about it. He's the prime suspect in his organization. I want him held. I want justice. And there's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said, wanted, dead or alive.
I would submit to you this morning that what is wrong in the world today is that the nations of the world are engaged in a bitter, colossal contest for supremacy. And if something doesn't happen to stop this trend, I'm sorely afraid that we won't be here to talk about Jesus Christ and about God and about brotherhood too many more years. If somebody doesn't bring an end to this suicidal thrust that we see in the world, none of us are going to be around, because somebody's going to make the mistake through our senseless blundering, dropping a nuclear bomb somewhere, and then another one is going to drop. And don't let anybody fool you. This is why we are drifting, and we are drifting there, because nations are caught up with the dumb major instinct. I must be first. I must be supreme. Our nation must rule the world. And I am sad to say that the nation in which we live is the supreme culprit. And I'm going to continue to say it to America, because I love this country too much to see the drift that it has taken. God didn't call America to do what she's doing in the world now. God didn't call America to engage in a senseless, unjust war as the war in Vietnam. And we are criminals in that war. We have committed more war crimes almost than any nation in the world. And I'm going to continue to say it.
And he continued to say it, and they shot him dead.
Planes hit in New York City, and thousands now are dead. It was Arab terrorists, this is what you said. Well, if that is the truth, then what have you got to hide? What were you doing on the day all those people died? Where the fuck were the fighter jets ordered by the FAA? What is your explanation for what you were heard to say when you told the Air Force to stand down, not to intercept? Did you plan to let it happen, or are you just inept? There's some distressing information, sir, which I think should be explained. Just which things have been lost, and just what has been gained. Like the thousands of put options bought days before the crash. If the money were collected, it'd make quite a pretty stash. And the only stocks they bought were American and United. Deutsche Bank knows the answer, but the names have not been cited. And is it just coincidence that this firm in the private sector was once run by Buzzy Krongard, now CIA director? Wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Lusitania or another Reichstag fire? explanation. Why did they get the contract? What is Britannia Aviation? A one-man operation, corporation with no history. He said he worked in Florida, but there he was a mystery. So is there a connection? I think it bears investigation. When the FAA found box cutters, does this cause you consternation? Hidden behind the seats in these Delta planes that had been fixed in Lynchburg with Britannia at the reins. I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Britannia or another Reichstag fire? You said Bin Laden was your friend, but he isn't anymore. Now that he's not fighting Russia in your proxy war, who called the FBI off the Bin Laden family trail when so many times you had the chance to rewrite the sordid tale? Sudan in 96, the Taliban in 2001 offered to turn him over, and right then you could have won. But perhaps it is the case that you're avoiding victory, that to justify your exploits you must have an enemy. And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Lusitania or another Reichstag fire? If you were not hiding from the truth, then you'd have a truth commission, not some masquerade kangaroo investigation, hiring Henry Kissinger, the ancient master of deceit, to make sure all stones are left unturned and the rooms are kept complete. Now you carry out your plans, which you have had for decades, conquering the world with your troops and bombing raids. I see an evil regime led by an evil man on Pennsylvania Avenue, where this evil war began. And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest Lusitania or another Reichstag fire?
David Ruvik's here, closing out a lengthy set on the 9/11 theme here at WMFO in Medford. I should mention that the views and opinions expressed in these material that I'm presenting are those of the participants, and not necessarily those of WMFO, its staff and management, the Board of Trustees, or the University of Tufts here at WMFO in Medford. So yeah, we started that set off way back some 40-odd minutes ago with Annie DeFranco, a piece she calls Self-Evident, about her experiences living in Lower Manhattan on the day of the attacks and her reflection of everything around that time. We followed that with Laurie Anderson, Statue of Liberty, from her Life on a String album that came out in 2001. Oddly, she released that during the summer of 2001, though that song sounds very post-9/11. Freedom is a scary thing. Not many people really want it. That was followed with Negative Land, 9/11 and the War Between Islam and the West. And that was recorded live at the Middle East Cafe on August 1st in 2007, down there in Cambridge. The did Armageddon Days Are Here Again from Mind Bomb. We heard a sound collage produced by Peter Boshin, 9/11 sound collage. Martin Luther King Jr., the drum maker of war. And we ended with David Rovick's Reichstag Fire. I'm Chuck. This is not Ultimate Rock. It's a 9/11 retrospective, more or less. And now it'll be a little less to fill out the rest of the hour. And we'll hear from the Gang of Four. He'll send in the army, which is what George W. did, here at WMFO in Medford.
put together with your might. I guess you're a common enemy.
let us just try for more. But I'm so happy, I can see the same things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. And I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course I don't mind. To buy nuclear tanks was for atomic crimes. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, society's got. I'm going underground. Some pleasure to hate me. I've enough already on my plate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the flags. You see, here's what you get. You've made your bed, you better lie.